This morning we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 6, entitled Creation of the Universal Form, text number 35.
Etat
Kshatar Bhagavata Etat Chat
Bhagavata
Deva Karmatma Rupinaha Deva Karmatma Rupinaha
Deva Karmatma Rupinaha
Kaha
Sadatya
Upakartum
Upakartum
Kasadatya Upakartum
Kasadatya transcendental time, work, and potency of the gigantic form manifested by the internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Responsibly, everyone please repeat. O Vidura,
O Vidura,
who can estimate or measure?
Who can estimate or measure
the transcendental time, work, and potency?
the transcendental time, work, and potency
of the gigantic form,
of the gigantic form
manifested by the internal potency,
manifested by the internal potency
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The froggish philosophers may go on with their mental speculations on the subject matter of the Virata, the gigantic form exhibited by the Yoga Maya, or internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But, factually, no one can measure such a vast expansion. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, the recognized devotee of the Lord, says, Aneka bahu daravakta netram pasyami pam sarvato nantarupam nantam namadyam napunastavadin pasyami vishveshvara vishvarupa. O my Lord, O gigantic Vishvarupa form, O Master of the universe, I see innumerable hands, bodies, mouths, eyes, etc., in all directions, and they are unlimited. I cannot find the end of this manifestation, nor do I see the middle, nor the beginning. Bhagavad Gita 11:16. Bhagavad Gita was specifically spoken to Arjuna, and the Vishvarupa was exhibited before him at his request. He was awarded the specific eyes to see this Vishvarupa. Yet although he was able to see the Lord's innumerable hands and mouths, he was unable to see him completely. Since Arjuna was unable to estimate the length and breadth of the potency of the Lord, who else would be able to do so? One may only indulge in miscalculation, like the frog philosopher. The frog philosopher wanted to estimate the length and breadth of the Pacific Ocean by his experience of a well 3 cubic feet large. And thus he began to puff himself up to become as big as the Pacific Ocean. But at last, he burst and died by this process. This story is applicable to the mental philosophers who, under the illusion of the Lord's external energy, indulge in estimating the length and breadth of the Supreme Lord. The best path is to become a cool-headed, submissive devotee of the Lord. Try to hear about the Lord from the bona fide spiritual master, and thus serve the Lord in transcendental loving service, as suggested in the previous verse. Etachattar bhagavato daiva karmatma rupinaha kashradhyarupakartum yogamaya valodayam. O Vidura, who can estimate or measure the transcendental time, work, and potency of the gigantic form manifested by the internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? We naturally want to know about ourself, our environment, our surroundings, our body, our family. We need knowledge just to feel secure in the material world. We are born into the material world in a state of darkness. And from the time we come out from the womb, we're in awe of what is manifest before us. And we spend our whole lives trying to understand what the material world is, how we can control it, how we can exploit it, how we can enjoy by interacting with the objects of the senses. But the whole endeavor is ultimately futile because the material nature itself is endless or endlessly mutable, always changing. And it comprises only, in a relative sense, only one quarter, ek pad vibhuti, of the vibhuti, of the opulence of the Lord. It is only one quarter. There are three quarters of manifestation of the internal potency, the spiritual world. So, it is only due to our false ego, our what is known as ahankar, the point of contact where the soul comes in touch with material nature. That is called ahankar. And we are bound up by this sense that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, by my senses, by my mind, by some empirical process, by extending my senses by telescope or microscope, by my plan making, by all my efforts, I can know the truth, control the truth, manipulate the truth, and I don't need help from anyone like God. So with this mentality, we fight a battle against material nature. And we are constantly losing. But due to false ego, a desire for false prestige, name, fame, out of false sense of hope, we continue the struggle till the bitter end, when we're forced to surrender to God and we're forced to go through the same process over and over again. And ultimately, it is all Krishna's mercy. Because we have to learn. Someday, we have to come to the right conclusion. It is His mercy that He gives us this opportunity. And it is our foolishness that we choose not to learn quickly. Otherwise, yayatha mam prapadyante tamstathayava bhajamyaham. Krishna will reciprocate with us according to our desire. He is completely open. He can reveal Himself immediately if we surrender immediately, and He can hide Himself forever if we don't want to surrender. And bhutva, bhutva, praliyate. Again and again, the creation takes place and the host of beings are born, and again they are annihilated, and this goes on ad infinitum. There's no end to time. So, in the very beginning, understanding this, an intelligent man, a seriously intelligent person, will give up this futile attempt. Even though it appears that some jiva souls, some human beings, have been endowed with, quote-unquote, superior intelligence, or how we measure by IQ, intelligence quotient. And they're very expert at studying the minutiae of the material world. They're expert at literally, just for example, some people waste their time in sports, and Srila Prabhupada and them drive to a morning walk in Los Angeles at one time, commented while seeing some wealthy, sophisticated businessmen out playing golf in the early morning, that here are these so-called intelligent people using their valuable time, which probably, if you calculated in terms of money, was worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars an hour, or even thousands of dollars an hour. Here they are, hitting a little white ball around a big green field into a little small hole. And totally wasting their time and getting pleasure from it. So, in another way, here we have big scientists getting everybody's tax dollar and then completely wasting their time trying to discover quasars and, I don't know what they call it, so many different things they're trying to discover. Swarup Damodar Maharaj once explained in a lecture in Bombay, being our biochemist, PhD, and head of our Bhaktivedanta Institute, and of course one of our bigger brains, he explained how knowledge today is such in the scientific field that everything is totally specialization. Before science was something small. You could study science and know the basics of science and you knew about science. But today, we've gone so deep into trivia that you can spend your whole life, you can get a PhD and get research money and go deeper and deeper and deeper into smell. You can study smell for your whole life. And, you become an expert. Everybody will coach you and get your advice on smell. That's all you know about. You don't know anything about color or, you don't know anything about Krishna. But you're a big philosopher and you're a big scholar and, people will worship you and whatnot. So, wasting their time, totally, foolishly, arati vai pum sanghubyan astan chayan asa. Every rising and passing, rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. We have only a short period of time, and we should identify the most important thing and dedicate our lives to that. The most important thing is to understand our relationship with God. It is not that being thrown into the middle of the ocean, being, just picked up from Atlanta and, being an Olympic swimmer and they drop you in the center of the ocean and you're really confident about your ability to swim and first of all you want to analyze how you got there. That is the ultimate in stupidity. It doesn't matter how you got there, but how the heck are you going to get yourself out? And trying to deny Krishna, it's common sense. This is so interesting. Common sense is the most uncommon thing in the world. It's not never common practice, although it's common sense. I visit to Moscow. I don't know anything about their system of administration. I don't know whether they have a mayor or they have a police chief or whatever they call them or anything. I can understand. Just I visit Moscow, I drive on the street, I see there must be some type of public administration. There must be a hierarchy of managers and there must be someone in charge because I see the result. It's common sense. So without any sophisticated degrees or travel in spaceships or studying smell, I can understand that there is a supreme intelligent being, and then I should just get on with it and try to focus, try to know Krishna. And whatever knowledge I come in contact with, that can help me to prove and to confirm my faith in the existence of God. Krishna states very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita that ekam sena stito jagat Arjuna, a small fragment, ekamsa of my potency, I create and support this whole jagat, whole cosmos. It's such an insignificant thing for Krishna. And it is advaitam, achutam, anadim, ananta. It is unlimited. Krishna's form is unlimited. Krishna's creation is unlimited. And it is achuta. It is totally perfect, infallible. You don't need to tamper with it. And it is achintya. It is inconceivable how he does it. And there's no need for us to know. We are just like these foolish scientists speculating. The analogy or the metaphor here of a frog is very appropriate. How can a frog even think of the ocean from his little 3 cubic feet well? Trying to compare his well to the ocean, he can only expand himself and explode. So Prabhupada talked about scientists and their speculation. He talked about munis and their speculation, and philosophers are in the same category. Comparative mental masturbation. Just think that, what is this? What is this universe? It is this universe. We're discovering more. We're going bigger. And then they explode and, come up with nothing. One of the biggest physicists in this century, I believe his name was Niels Bohr. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but he made the statement that in the beginning we started studying molecules and we started studying material nature, and he was very hopeful of discovering the key to everything. And their endeavor is to make t-shirts, just like ISKCON, you make t-shirts. So they also want to make t-shirts, but they want to put the formula for everything on a t-shirt. That's their endeavor, to reduce everything by their study. And he said that after all my studies and Nobel Prizes and this and that, at the end of my life, I'm finding I'm still winding up with the same molecules. I haven't discovered anything, really. And he said, I have to begin my search over again. Actually, he was being a little humble and suggesting that he had to take a different approach, a spiritual approach, to, as the Bhaktivedanta Institute devotees present very nicely, they need a new order, higher order laws to deal with consciousness. Mundane physics and mathematics, whatever laws and formulas and theories they've come up with, they cannot apply that to the soul and to God. So we also should ourselves take the best path, as Prabhupada calls it. Try to be simple. As they say in marketing, we have to kiss more. We have to keep it simple, stupid. Or Swami, I'm sorry. Keep it simple, Swami. We have to live a simple life, control our senses, control our minds, keep a cool head, apply our intelligence for the right things, like how to make prasadam better, or how to have more scientific kirtans. We can spend hours and years studying and practicing things that will actually give us benefit at the end of the day. They go to the moon. So what if they went to the moon? Of course, Prabhupada didn't believe they did, and if he didn't believe it, we don't believe it. But even if they did go to the moon, what did they do? They came back with some sand, a few rocks, and that's debatable, and then they shelved the whole project after billions of dollars of expense. I mean, talk about mismanagement. I don't think even one of ISKCON's temples has ever mismanaged even $1 billion. it's ludicrous, and they get no criticism. We get so much. So we just have to follow the path. We have to analyze who our authorities are going to be in the beginning. Are we going to accept people whose senses are totally out of control, who are simply interested in their tongue, belly, and genital, no matter what type of sophisticated uniform they put on, and what type of rose garden they live in, and what type of skyscraper they live in, and all their titles and everything. But at the end of the day, are they interested in their own aggrandizement, their own glorification, their own sense gratification? Are they trying to exploit and control the material world as well as everyone else in it? Or are they surrendered to Krishna? Are they surrendered to the Absolute? Supposing they find the Absolute Truth, then what are they going to do? Just like now, the biggest field, physics, is in ill repute because they've seen too many cheaters over the last decades. All their scandals and things have been all their data fudging and manufacturing and fighting, infighting, etc. They're in bad, ill repute at the moment. But bioengineering and chemistry are the biology, actually. Biology is the big field now that everybody hopes for. We're very soon going to have a brave new world. And, genetic engineering and these are the big field. But there's a huge debate that what are we going to do with all of this, the ethics of it? And they really don't know because they were confused at the beginning. So going deeper into ignorance is, they're not going to come out more clarity. They're not going to have greater clarity. They're even more confused. So our path is very simple. Simple living and high thinking, as opposed to high living and no thinking. And we really have the best option. So here are some transcendental authorities giving their version. The best of men, saintly persons, totally detached from the material world. Sarve sukino bhavantu. Their only desire is to see people happy. They really are interested in our welfare in every way. Esha vos krishta kamadu. If we follow the path chalked out by our acharyas, try to follow in their footsteps, it is purna. It is a complete program, and everything is adjusted for, and we can actually be happy even in the material world if we all go and live in Hawaii. Prabhupada said it's not possible to be happy in the material world, but maybe it's possible in Hawaii. But there's another way, actually, and that is to become transcendental to the material world. In other words, a devotee of the Lord engaged in devotional service is not in the material world, and therefore, like the lotus flower, he's not affected by it. And by living a simple life and channeling or focusing or putting all of our energy into perfecting our japa, perfecting our lives as perfect gentlemen, as Vaishnavas should be, perfecting the 26 qualities of a pure devotee, chanting our rounds. Now here's something. It's not true that GBC men do not have hearts. They do. And they actually feel for devotees. Each and every one of the GBC men, when we come to Mayapur, we actually feel such a heavy load on our backs because we know that we have come from our zones where there are real devotees with real desires and desires to be Krishna conscious and problems dealing with the material world. And we don't have a perfect society like we promise, and there's lots of room for improvement, and we struggle for weeks. It's torture. I'm telling you, it's 3 weeks of 6-hour meetings, man. You come out of there punch drunk. It's torture. I'd rather be sent to, I don't know, a zoo with gorillas and lions and tigers. Hawaii. Yeah, I'd rather be sent to Hawaii. I think we should shift the GBC meetings to Hawaii. They do care, but there's one instruction that is just so basic to everyone. And everyone, a lot of times when you're down and times are tough and someone tells you something very simple and common sense, you hate to hear it. You know, I want something, that's really customized for my special problems that'll be like tips and tricks and secrets how to, get there shorter, quicker, faster. But it all comes down to chanting 16 rounds without offense. That's the key. Chanting 16 rounds without offense. And we're going to have lots of problems until we rise above our material attachments, etc. And hopefully we can try to be more personal and understanding and sensitive and like that. But the bottom line is always going to start from Prabhupada's instruction because he gave us plain vanilla. He just gave us the simple truth and that's what we dedicated our lives to, the pure devotees who give us the simple truth and try to help us develop and grow. So, the spiritual also about the universe, etc. But ultimately, it's the simple, unsophisticated, child-like devotee who simply yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha gura tasyaite katita hi artha prakashante mahatma, who has faith in Lord Krishna and his spiritual master. And he's not worried about vox populi or the mass of frogs and fools. He just lives a simple, happy life in Krishna consciousness. And nobody has to tell him because he's just enjoying it. He's feeling happy. Let me finish by on behalf of all the guests and visitors and all of us congratulating all the devotees here at Bhakti Vedanta Manor for a wonderful festival. It's these festivals that bring out the child in us, actually, or the youthful Krishna consciousness, fresh Krishna consciousness, because it's just so wonderful to get out on the street and just let go and chant, chant to the skies, chant to the buildings, chant to Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya, and dance down the street for hours as if there's no end to, kirtan. It's just so much fun, these festivals. And those devotees who work hard to organize them and sacrifice and invite people, and they're really doing the best service. And I want to, on behalf of all the visitors and everybody, I want to thank you all very much. And It was a grand success. It was really everybody's talking. The biggest Sarathiatra, a beautiful day, a little hail at the end. It was perfect, divine. And it was like that in New York this year also. The best festival in 20 years. Everybody was in ecstasy. At least, well, those, I mean, there were 1,500 devotees there. Maybe it was 1,000. Some said 700 or 800, but there was a lot of devotees. And it was really just, everybody was in ecstasy. It was incredible. The police were in ecstasy.
Yeah.
New York cops are amazing.
Changing colors.
On the ground, yeah, changing colors. Yeah. So NYPD. There's even Nipata. A lot of good things are happening. I came from Croatia, we just had a big festival, 600 congregational devotees. 600 devotees camped out on the Adriatic Sea for 7 days of kirtan and lectures and seminars and pizza. Mostly we were there for the pizza, but the rest of it was fun too. Everywhere I go, it's just such a wonderful organization dedicated to living for the Lord, and I'm just so grateful to be able to have a chance to be part of it. So, are there any questions, comments, appreciations of Rathiatra? Unfortunately, you always express thanks the day after, the afternoon before, in absentia, because all the people who work very hard are probably resting very hard right now. But we hope that they accept our thanks. Yes.
I like sometimes the pilgrims here to like a week or.
Yes, they let it up.
Let's
have a round for people. Growing and growing, and I think things are improving and getting better, and there's lots of hope, and that someday the third or maybe the fourth generation will be able to do pure sacrifice. It's genetic engineering, really. the natural way. Produce good progeny. So we're learning. Prabhupada was amazing. I mean, he is so great. He came and he gave us a blueprint. He gave us all the instructions to wreck a mission that would last for 10,000 years. And then, very detached, but at the end he was just so encouraging and loving. But he told us, now you have to fly. You have to do. You have to... You make mistakes, but if you have faith in my instructions and work together cooperatively in a positive spirit, no utility and negativity, get on with it, go forward, and we'll be successful following his instructions. He gave us everything. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.